This is WKSU News. I'm Andrew Meyer. Homer had his odyssey. Writer David Giffels has embarked on his own journey. Giffels is working on a new book trying to understand what's going on in this country. In the lead-up to the 2020 presidential election, he's traveling around Ohio to get a better understanding of what's changed in Ohio and what it says about the U.S. We've caught up with him at his home in Akron at the start of work on his new book to talk about the project. David, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you again.
One of your drivers on this project is the idea that to understand Ohio is to understand America. What planted the seed for this idea?
Really, it's interesting because I've written so much about Ohio in my career as a journalist and in books I've written, and I was kind of ready for a different subject. I was kind of casting about for a new idea. And I was talking with my agent, and he kept bringing up Ohio. He kept saying, you know, it just seems like Ohio is at the center of the conversation of where we are politically and culturally and socially in this, you know, sort of time of division and people not really listening to each other. And he just, in his mind, as somebody who lives in New York City, Ohio still seemed to be a relevant part of the national conversation. And so we started talking about it more, and I started thinking, you know, this is true. You know, it's not like because I've written a lot about it, like the story has come to an end, and this does seem like an important time to tell Ohio's story, especially by way of the fact that Ohio has always been this very reliable barometer. We get called a bellwether, and you know, we're this battleground state and every presidential election season. But this time around, it seems like more than just how the election's going to go, but really kind of to the soul of who we are right now.
And to be clear, this book is driven by politics, but this is not a book about politics.
Right. I'm doing a book about people and trying to understand the big questions, but at the level of real people who I think I can relate to and hopefully other Americans can relate to. In 2004, as a columnist for the Akron Beacon Journal, I spent about 6 weeks traveling around Ohio doing a similar project. And I intentionally did not ask people how they were voting, or if I did, I didn't ask those kinds of questions till very late. But almost inevitably, they told me. And there was something very Midwestern about it. It was almost like they felt that, like, they needed to share, like, where they were coming from and so forth. And so I wanted to do the same kind of thing, which is to kind of get to the human level with these big questions and not paint them as hot topics or position statements, or because someone lives a certain way, they must vote a certain way. So that's been important to me, is to not stereotype us, but to try to deepen our questions.
This seems to be in some way, if not an outgrowth of one of your previous books, The Hard Way on Purpose, certainly a kindred spirit to it. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, The Hard Way on Purpose was a collection of essays, but essentially about coming of age in the American Rust Belt as the first generation to know only the downturn and not to have lived through the boom years of industry in Middle America. And this book is very much informed by that, because one thing that book sort of galvanized for me is kind of not just who I am by way of where I come from, but who an entire generation and region of people are by way of where we live and where we've come from and what we've come through. So, you know, I recognize then and I recognize now that very often Ohio and the Rust Belt in general are either misunderstood or overlooked most of the time until it comes time to sort of test the political waters. And then we get, you know, sort of beset upon by journalists and politicians coming here to try to find out, you know, what makes us tick. And so very much the spirit of that book was to really understand that in a deeper way. And now I'm finding that I'm able to apply my experience growing up through those years in Ohio and being a lifelong Ohioan to hopefully represent a very full, rich, deep and nuanced picture of not just people from Ohio, but people from this sort of overlooked, often misunderstood place in the middle of America.
So your journeys, where are you going? And actually, what went into the thinking behind the places you're going to be traveling to?
Yeah, several different sources have made reference to what we call the Five Ohios. And it's defined really well by the Ray C. Bliss Institute at the University of Akron, which sort of breaks it down by our regions, which those of us who live here recognize, but which really reflect a cross-section of the country really well. So we've got the Northeast, where I live, which is a densely populated, very urban, post-industrial region. You've got the very Midwestern, much different, more rural and less populated Northwest part of the state. You've got Central Ohio, which is, Columbus is the only sort of fast-growing city in Ohio. The rest of the cities, big cities, are either stagnant or losing population. And Ohio State University, which is a much different sort of aspect of life here. You've got the Appalachian region, and then you've got the region around Cincinnati, which is more like the South. So all these very different parts of the state, which can tell very different stories. So I've sort of plotted this travelogue to go to those places and, again, try to understand what they reflect about the national picture and sort of within the neat boundaries of my home state.
I want to ask you, what is it about the interest by writers and by readers these days to look inwards? For Ohio, a lot of people look to J.D. Vance and Hillbilly Elegy. But there have been plenty of other nonfiction works focused on the idea, as you put it, of American places. Do you think this is an outgrowth of the questioning, and the curiosity of the times that we live in?
I think it's primarily an outgrowth of the homogenization that's taken place culturally among all of America over the past at least 10 years and maybe 10 or 20 years. We tend to be less social people in sense of place and more, you know, tied to devices. And so it's almost like the civic commons is in your phone. And also, you know, just the fact that so much of the commercial life that we live is the same anywhere you go. And so the sense of place, I think, has changed and in a lot of ways has become more urgent in the past couple of decades, especially for writers to continue to represent what makes each place unique and how unique places form a country that is not one single flavor from coast to coast, but rather has different ways of seeing the world and so forth. And so I think a lot of writers who write about place are doing it with a sense of almost moral purpose to define their places from within, you know, on their own terms and not have them be defined by whatever the sort of like the clamor of the sort of marketplace of ideas might be saying. So for instance, J.D. Vance's place, I think, was seen in one way, you know, as a very backward sort of place full of people who maybe are at fault for some of their own misfortune. And I think by humanizing one family the way he did, and also putting a lot of sort of ideological thought to how and why his family and the families he knew are the way they were, I think it does a good service to the story. I also think it calls out for other people to tell these stories differently. So my, you know, whatever I think about J.D. Vance's story, you know, he gets the credit for showing it that way. And if somebody else wants to add their own narrative, which is what I'm trying to do, I think that's important because then you've got this new collection, this new fabric that we can see.
I think some of what you were just mentioning plays into my last question, which is for ways of a disclaimer here, for those who don't know you, you were born in Akron. You live here now. You're a former Beacon Journal reporter. Your books are about life in Akron and in Ohio. Do you think this gives you either a perspective or even an advantage in getting a story that others from outside might not be able to get to?
If there's an advantage to spending your whole life in Akron, Ohio, I think it has to be, first of all, wrought with a certain sense of irony. Like somehow I beat the system. But it's true, I think, that one thing I recognize now, having spent, you know, half a century here, is that somebody like me can tell a story with a deep authenticity and a deep understanding of people whose stories can't be told that way by somebody not from here. So if there's an advantage, there are lots of advantages to spending your life in Ohio, but if there's one, I think that it's that we can tell the story of a place that doesn't get represented, you know, often enough, with the kind of nuance that's important to understand, especially if you know that you live in a place that has something to tell the rest of the nation as a whole.
We've been talking with David Giffels about the new book he's working on. It's focused on getting a better understanding of Ohio, and in so doing, a better understanding of our country ahead of next year's presidential elections. We'll be checking in with him every month over the course of his travels to talk to him about what he's finding. David, thanks for talking with us today. Good luck on your journeys. We'll catch up with you next month.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I'm Andrew Meyer, 89.7 WKSU.